today the feast of Saint Barnabas. We take the first reading from the feast day, so it describes one of the occasions in which Barnabas had a key role in the early church. And then in the gospel, we take the gospel from Thursday of the 10th week. So they're not readings are not chosen together, but we can reflect on them together. One about Barnabas and his role. He's the son of encouragement. In fact, his name isn't even really Barnabas, it's Joseph. But the apostles called him Barnabas because he was such a gifted encourager. And then in the gospel, we read Jesus teaching about holiness and about anger. Well, as I was reflecting on these two passages, I thought we might be able to get an insight into them by starting with the world of sports. I don't know if there's any sports fans here, but in the world, the sports world is gearing up for the World Cup, an international soccer tournament, which is the most popular sports event in the world. So that's where a lot of people are focused. Here in the Philippines, since soccer is not that popular, the attention of sports fans is on the basketball world because the championship series is taking place in the NBA. And I think there's something we can learn about sports. Well, first of all, individual sports, we learn from the commitment, the dedication, the sacrifice, the intensity of preparation that individual athletes go through. So, for example, the gymnasts or the weightlifters or the boxers, and that's admirable. We learn from that. But when it comes to team sports, which I think is more relevant to today's feast, in team sports, we see how the players have to interact, how they have to support one another in the goal of winning a victory. And in a sport like soccer, where there's a lot of players, there's 11 players on a side, it takes a lot of cooperation. In basketball, there's only 5 players on a side, and people tend to try to pick out who's the superstar. In fact, this seems to be a growing tendency ever since the rise of the media to try to focus on the superstar, the key player. They even have a contest or a description of the most valuable player, the MVP. I don't know how they pick them. I guess somebody votes for that. But somebody who is the most significant player on the team during the season or during the championship season. The MVP. Well, I mention this because Barnabas is not the MVP. He's not the most valuable player in the church. He's a key player. He's on the team and he's a great team player, but he doesn't rise to the level of the champion, which is really important for us to know that not everybody can be the MVP. In fact, most people are not even called to be the MVP. But all of us are called to play on the team and to support, to put ourselves at the service of the church, the mission of the church. We say the whole church is the team. Well, Barnabas is a great instruction for us because he's a gifted man, he's a good man, and his gifts are especially geared toward the support of others. That's why he has this nickname, Son of Encouragement. He's great at lifting up others. And this comes up many times in the scriptures, but especially in his role of supporting Saul, who becomes Saul the great apostle. Barnabas is the one who is one of the first to trust that Saul's conversion is authentic. Where a lot of others were afraid of Saul because he was a fierce persecutor. But Barnabas is the one who trusted him. And then when the church starts flourishing in Antioch, this is the first reading we heard today, the church is attracting many people, not only Jews, but now especially Gentiles, and the Christians in Jerusalem hear about this, Who do they send to find out what's going on up there in Antioch? They send Barnabas, because he's a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. He's a good man, is how it's described. A good man filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. And he's the one who recognizes this is a work of God here. This attracting of the Gentiles to the faith. And once he gets to Antioch and sees what's going on, he takes the initiative to take another step going further north up to Tarsus to find Saul, because Saul had disappeared from the scene. Well, he had been sent away from Jerusalem because his life was being threatened. So Barnabas sees, well, we need a guy like Saul here. He brings Saul back to Antioch, and Saul, Barnabas, and the others, mentions five prophets and teachers here, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul. They have prominent roles. None of them stands out at this point as the MVP, maybe Barnabas, if anybody. But then the Holy Spirit inspires the church to set aside Barnabas and Saul to go off on a missionary journey. Barnabas and Saul, who in time become Paul and Barnabas. So Barnabas, who at this stage is the key figure, eventually gets surpassed by Paul, and Paul is the one who we honor as the MVP of the early church. He's the one who practically founds the church throughout the world. Paul, who we honor as an apostle, even though he's not one of the 12, but he knew he was set aside as an apostle, and he proclaimed himself as an apostle. I don't know if Barnabas ever called himself an apostle. I can't remember if it says that, but the church honors him as an apostle because of his great work in encouraging the believers all over the world. Barnabas. So he's a great example to us of somebody who does the work that God called him to do, and who puts his gifts at the service of the kingdom, which is what we're all supposed to do, whether we're MVP or not. We're all called to put whatever gifts we have at the service of the gospel, at the service of the church, the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if anyone notices what we do or not. It doesn't matter if we're second place, third place, fifth place, we don't get a medal. It doesn't matter. What matters is to do the will of God. I know that many of you are here for the pondering this morning, and you'll be pondering Sunday's gospel. In Sunday's gospel, we're going to hear Jesus' choice of the 12. Okay, God chose 12. Jesus chose 12. He didn't choose 14 or 18 or 21. He chose 12 in that specific role. But he chooses everybody for a specific role. And that's what we are called to fulfill. So St. Barnabas reminds us of this, that it's more important to do what God asks than to shine out as the MVP. Now, a big part of sports, you see this all the time, is the passionate intensity with which top-class athletes compete. And that brings us to today's gospel and this whole business of anger. Now, Jesus speaks specifically about the sin of anger, but we can't understand the sin of anger unless we understand the passion of anger, the intense emotional involvement that we identify as anger. And this is what we see in professional sports all the time. Athletes, because they are pushing themselves to the limit, they're hyped up. You see them yelling and, you know, punching and clenching their fists, and they're very intense, emotionally intense. And sometimes that intensity gets misdirected, and they get into fights, and they, you know, they foul each other, and they harm each other. And when that happens, they don't play as well. So the challenge for a professional, for any athlete, but especially a professional, is to keep that high intensity, that passion, and channel it in the direction of winning the game or scoring the points. And when they do that, they really do well. So this, I'm just using sports as a way to reflect on the scriptures here. See, anger is an energy that we all have. The question is not whether we're angry or not. Everybody's angry. Everybody has a natural reaction that is identified as the passion of anger. The question is, what do we do with that? Do we use it for good ends? Do we use it for victory? Do we use it for overcoming obstacles? Do we use it for fighting against injustice? Or do we use it to tear people down, to attack, to be destructive? Because if we use anger that way, then we fall into the sin of anger, which is what Jesus warns us against. Anger used in the wrong way becomes judgment, it becomes murder, violence, disrespect. It becomes violation of the dignity of other people. And there's no justification for that. No matter how hot the competition is, we have no justification for destroying the dignity of another person or violence against another person. Jesus starts out here not by talking about anger, but talking about holiness. Unless your righteousness, or I say holiness, surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's not enough for us simply to not, to not offend anyone or to follow all the rules. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did. They followed all the rules. We have to surpass that. And in order to surpass that, we have to channel the energies that are part of human nature and put them at the service of the gospel, including anger. But we cannot let anger take over our life. When we do that, then we're at fault. We're not using our gifts properly. We're not using our passions to encourage others like Barnabas did. No. Then we're allowing our own emotions to destroy us and destroy others. And that does not build up the kingdom. In fact, that's a sin. So what can we learn from this? Saint Barnabas is the example. Was he angry? Of course. Everybody is. That's part of being human. Did he use his anger to tear people down, to criticize, to judge, to be violent? No. He was son of encouragement. He marshaled the energies it took to travel to different places and to encounter different cultures. He used that energy to proclaim the gospel. He sacrificed himself for the good of others. That's the right use of the passions, especially of anger. So let us learn the great lesson that we see in the lives of the saints. Well, we see it in Jesus himself. And let us put into practice what we see in the scriptures so that we can participate in the great work of building the kingdom of God.